This is Emeka Ezra, and this is the Redeemed Podcast, where we talk about our past lives before we met Christ. I hope no one is listening, but if you are, please keep it to yourself. Okay, hi everyone. So, it has been really long. I know, and some of you don't even care again, but I have an interesting guest with me today. And like every other episode, it's about how we've actually been helped by God, right? I'm with a guest, and her name is UC. I was having a conversation with her the other day, right? And we just began to talk about like her story. And I was like, oh my God, everybody needs to hear this, you know? Everybody needs to hear this. And this is a very amazing person. She's an entrepreneur. She's a lot of things in one. But then I would love UC to introduce herself. Hi, UC.
Okay. Hi, Emeka. Good. I don't know. Should I say good evening? Hi, Emeka. So my name, hi, guys. My name is UC, and I am a believer. I am an entrepreneur. What else now?
Yeah, a lot of things.
Well, I'm a businesswoman, basically. I'm a makeup artist. I just do a lot of things. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I like to call myself that. And one random Sunday, I think we were talking. We were talking about like how people disregard, like think spiritual things are just basic, they're just coincidences. So I think that's what made us start talking. And I was like, oh, I've had experiences with like spirit husband and the rest. And I was like, oh, you should come on my podcast. I was like, okay. Because I know that last year, Holy Spirit told me I was going to share my story this year. So it was not a coincidence that
I asked. Are you serious?
You asked. Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, are you serious? Okay. Like, yeah, that's what happened.
That's awesome. Yeah. So like, you know, we are talking about your story. But we didn't talk about it elaborately.
Yeah.
So yeah. The thing is, when we were talking about your story, you said like it all started when you were like abused and stuff like that or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know whether you love to like tell us your story and how it all started, everything, what happened. What you think happened and how everything like morphed into what's morphed into. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It started, I can never forget the first day it happened. It started like a joke. So it's not really like a joke, but it started on a very random day, right? So we used to live in Festac. So our neighbor, way older than my dad and his wife. So his wife, I was born into that house. So his wife really liked it. So I was born there, into the house, but I'm the third, and we're just 1, 2, 3. So my younger sister came after, but yeah, we went to the house. And the lady just took interest in me. She liked me. All our children were big, so I was just the one born there. So she kind of bonded with me.
Are you the only child? Okay, 1, 2, 3, you said.
No, we're 4 girls at that time.
Okay.
So I just used to go to the house randomly. There was this small gate connecting to their own compound. Of course, he was the landlord of the house, so you could have access. So my mom and my dad knew that, okay, this lady liked that and they liked to go there because she liked me. So that's how we were going. So one fateful day, I went there and they had this room where it was like a laundry room. They had a lot of washing machines. We had washing machines in my house, but nobody ever let us touch it. I was very young. I was 8. Mm-hmm. But in that particular house, so they were using the washing machine and it was a lot, like 5 washing machines. I was very happy. Then the lady was not around that day. But I didn't really care because, I've been going there all the time, so I didn't really care whether she was around or not. Then I got to the place. So I remember climbing up a stool to start to do whatever washing machine. The water is, hey, child, you're excited. Mm-hmm. Something they don't allow you to do at home. So I was just doing it then. Then he just started touching me. So the man, this man is older than my dad. Let me just say, I was 8.
Mm.
He just started touching me, right? And not that kind of touching, like down onto your lap, then upward. And I was shocked at first. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I didn't do anything. I just stayed there. So it happened. Then he just touched me, and the grip was very firm. So I was like, okay, this is not normal.
Yeah.
But after everything just happened, when that happened, I knew that, okay, this was not right. So he touched me and went like up to my private part, and he was like, then I was like, I just stunned. And he now put his hand down and held me very tight, and he squeezed my shoulders and said, do not tell anybody. Some people say during like when you're molested or raped, they'll tell you, if you tell anybody, they would tell you, I'll kill you. No, this guy was huge and I was 8. So he didn't need to do all those things. That grip alone, the grip was firm. I don't know if you understand. Like, the grip was really firm and just said, do not tell anybody about this. And I just went home. I didn't tell anybody. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell anybody till I was 25.
Oh my God.
I didn't tell any of my family members. So I got home. So normally I'm a very strong good person, right? When I was young. But after that thing happened, I couldn't tell anybody, right? So your emotions are bottled up. You can't really, even if you want to, you can be angry, but what they think is annoying you.
It's not really what's annoying you.
What is annoying you is the fact that this thing happened. They're still trying to process it. Like, all I wanted to do, I remember that day I came back home and all I wanted to do was sleep. But the nurse started calling me to eat. I wanted to just stay on my bed. Like, I've been defiled. So he didn't outrightly, like, that was like the first step, right? He's obviously a predator, so he knows how to, I don't know how they do it, but they know how to start small, then progress, right? So that day, I remember I just wanted to just go to my bed and just lie down and just feel like, if anybody has been molested here,
like, you just want the whole day to disappear.
You just want to understand what happened to you, because you don't know what happened to you, you're a child. You know that your innocence has kind of, that's the thing. Maybe I think that's how Eve felt when she ate the apple, because it's like your world has just been, like, a different world has been exposed to you, but you can't tell anybody about it. And like I said, I was very stubborn. So I felt that, and my younger sister, we used to fight a lot, and they always felt I was the reason for the fight. So I felt that. So now people would ask, and people always ask, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you talk?
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I get you.
Most people think, oh, why didn't you just talk? It's actually not easy, because you know that this thing is not right. But me, I had a very funny perspective towards that. Why didn't you tell anybody? People say you're scared. I'm not really a scared person. But I don't tell anybody because she was our landlord. We've been there all our lives. Like, we've been there for, I was 8, so we've been there for 8 years. So we're almost like family. We're like family because we've been there for a very long time. So I don't tell anybody, because my childish mind then was like, if you tell anybody, we'll have to move.
Mm.
And we were living a very comfortable life. And I was like, okay, if we move, our life can literally change and people will now blame me.
Yeah.
That I'm the reason. And I don't want people to start treating me. I knew I wasn't going to be treated normally. That's the truth. People think, okay, just tell people you're molested. Yes, advisable to talk to somebody, but people would treat you normally. You wouldn't. Your childhood is almost gone because sleepovers, you will not go. Yeah. Many things you wouldn't do anymore. Because
now your parents are now scared that same thing.
Yeah, your parents are scared. No, they're scared that, okay, you might get used to it and, yeah. And you. Back then, African parents, they don't really like care about your emotion now, or anything about your emotions. So that's just your business. But that's why I didn't tell anybody. I just felt that my life was going to change. So I didn't tell anybody. So this happened. So when that happened that day, I knew that I had a dream, right? That day or the next day, but things were not normal anymore. I never used to dream. I just used to dream like my childish normal dreams. But ever since that day, that guy touched me, that man touched me, my dreams started being like very, I used to have very vivid dreams of like sex, like sexual stuff in my dreams. Ever since, I think that day or the next day, the dreams were very, very vivid. And I was like, okay. This is not normal.
And did you tell anybody about this
thing? No, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody because I was like, maybe it will just stop. Maybe it's like, maybe it's something that would stop. But it actually didn't stop. It actually never stopped. So I just used to have that dream. Then what people don't talk about, people being molested, is that when you don't tell anybody, right, you kind of get used to it. So that's why most people that are molested and most people you see in secondary school, some people are just very like they like boys in quotes.
Yeah.
They don't really like boys. They've just been exposed to something very early and it's become their life. So it's not like they like boys. They don't think they like boys. They think it's their normal behavior. Right? So that was me. I just, but my own was, I didn't really like boys. I just liked love. I've liked, like, the romance, of, like, all those things. So now, added with the sexual part, it now became very extreme, right? So, from secondary school, I remember primary four, that's when I fully knew, like, how to, like, I loved somebody. You know when you like somebody? I have people, like people now. That was me in secondary school. But I didn't really act on it because, I mean, I was still very young, right? So there's nothing I could really do. But after that, I just decided, okay, that's what, I didn't still tell anybody. But it's, I just kept on dreaming. And that's something that I realized. So I think I had the gift of dreaming, but I never paid attention to the dreams because I remember sometimes when I'm very young, when I was younger, I can dream of something happening. I'm like, oh, I dreamt about that thing last week. Yeah. I dreamt about this in last month. And it's happening now. So I just didn't pay attention to it because I was like, oh, maybe it's just my mind. I was a child. But when that thing happened, I knew that something changed, right? Then another thing that happened that I don't really, right now, I don't really blame anybody. I don't really blame my parents. I just believe that you just go through things in life to help people, right? And you choose what you're going to use that to do, whatever you're going to use to do. So you just choose how you're going to go about that experience. There's nothing they could have done. There's nothing my...
Hey guys, I beg, no vex. I have a meeting, right? A virtual meeting coming up on the 22nd of January. And this meeting is tagged the redeemed. This meeting is tagged the redeemed. It's for people in addiction, people that are struggling with addictions, same-sex attraction or whatever. Whatever you're struggling with, please come and be free, right? I'll be teaching for a week. The meeting is going to span for a week. And I'm going to be teaching every day by 8 p.m. Nigerian time. See, if this is for you, please show up. Show up, show up, show up. I'll be there. I'll be teaching. I'll be there in my spirit. I'll be there, my body. And I'll be there with everything I have. The link is down below. Please register and share. Have a wonderful time and enjoy.
Yeah, so I don't blame anybody. I don't blame, I used to. I think Holy Spirit actually helped me to stop blaming people. Because why I used to blame them before, because I was a stubborn child.
You formally blamed your parents?
I didn't blame my dad. I actually blamed my mom. Because they always thought I was very stubborn. So stubborn in the sense that they want to send me to Ghana because the woman liked me, remember? So they want to send me. Go and, during Christmas, go and give her food.
Ooh.
I am literally sending it to the person that molested me. So I'll be like, I don't want to go. And they'll be like, you must go. You're very stubborn. They even beat you and you must still go.
Oh, wow.
Right? So they're literally sending you back. So because you can't really see anything, you can't say, this is what is happening to me when I go there. You go. They collect the food. Your man will be upstairs. Your man will be downstairs. Do whatever you want to do with you.
I want to ask, like, how did your mom feel when you told her when as she turned 25?
She cried.
Yeah.
She cried. I think the reason why I even told her that, I was talking to one guy that was toasting, and the guy just told me, you're carrying a lot. Have you ever told anybody in your family? And I was like, oh, it's true. I think I did tell my mom. So I now told her one night, I just told her she cried. And she shed tears. She cried, I cried, she cried, I cried, she cried, I cried. But that was just the beginning of the battle. Because telling somebody, see, when someone is molested, who you tell is very important. Who you tell is as important as what they say.
Yeah.
So if you tell somebody that tells you what you don't want to hear, you just the result is worse than not telling people, right? So I told my mom, but that's too forward now. So I'm going to go back. So when they kept on sending me back to the house. So it kept on happening. And I didn't tell anybody. Remember, I couldn't tell my sisters because I just felt like a very misunderstood child. Because they said I was stubborn. I was so stubborn. I was dealing with a lot of things. Sometimes you just want to stay. And I had a very imaginative like mind. So I was very alone. I was very isolated. I could stay, play by myself with my dolls, alone. And I think that is what the devil used, even at a very small age. Because I noticed that when I was older, when you're going through things emotionally and you want to stay on your own, that is a very bad place. You're going to go down deep. into whatever I go. So even when I was small, think sometimes I just go back to just think to say, okay, how can I even help people? But I just know that anytime something is happening with you, you actually have to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Because if you don't talk to the person, the devil works on your brain. Like it's like magic. He actually knows what to do and he will do it well. So that happened when I was in I think primary four. I was young, I can't remember. So I realized that. So then after that, I can't really remember how my life was before that happened. Because that memory blocked out everything. I can't remember when I was 1 to 8. I can't remember anything. That's how bad it was. I can't remember. I try. Like my sisters try to, they know.
You know, they have memories.
They have memories, but like, I'm like, when did that happen? I can't remember anything because that thing really, I don't know if they scared me, but that was the only thing I could think about. In school, I can just stay and I'll be thinking. I now stop paying attention in school. So I start failing because I couldn't concentrate. So that will now add to it because you will now be categorized as someone that has no notebook. But there are lots of things going on with you that nobody just knows. So I was not even interested. I remember one time when I was supposed to write like double proportion exam and my auntie was like, why won't you read? Why won't you read for it? I was like, what's the point? My time just do primary 4, 5, and 6. Why do I want to stress my brain?
Yeah.
And I actually did primary 4. I didn't care about anything in school. I think I'm still like that now. I didn't care about anything in school because at that point, when I was supposed to be excited about some things, I could only think about demonization. And now you're not thinking about demonization. So this has happened consecutively many times. Now it's not something that you now want. I think that's the part about monetization people don't talk about. At some point, it now becomes a habit. That feeling, you first and foremost, you don't know what is happening with you. Right? You don't know. It's like, wow, something just happened to me. After that, when it happens, I feel if it happens one-off, it's better. But if it happens all the time...
Okay, this thing happened like consecutively. That's the one that happened when you were 8 was not the last one that he did.
No, that was just the first. That was like the gateway. I don't know how the predators work, but they kind of want to know whether you talk or not.
Damn.
So if you talk, then they will not come back. But if they see that, wow, we've gotten this girl, she's not saying anything, then they continue. And they continue very well. So everything started happening from when I was 8. Many times though, because when neighbors, my parents will send me.
Oh my God.
And I will go. And if I don't go, they'll beat me. So they will send me, and I didn't even tell my mom what this was. I not tell anything because you know that's how you tell someone something.
Ooh, yes,
they will not think that it's my fault. Oh no, my I didn't want her to blame myself because I was like, see, this has already happened. It's happened. Like, I'm finished emotionally. So like, I don't need you to add to. I don't need you to be sad or anything. That's already happened. So fast forward to secondary school. I realized that I started secondary school. I realized that I liked boys. I don't like boys now. I liked. Like getting attention from boys because I felt, first off, being molested, you feel like you are not worthy. Like you feel like you're not normal, right? So for the fact that maybe someone does not toast you, it's normal for them not to toast you. But because you're molested, you think that it's as if something in me has gone. I don't know how to explain this. It's as if you don't feel like, you don't feel worth it. So anybody that gives you attention, even if it's the ugliest guy, you accept. Because you personally, you don't feel like,
you know, I don't know if you saw this video. I saw a video on Instagram where I think it was Pastor Bolaji's church, the Harvester something, where they told this girl, I don't know,
she was beautiful or something. Yeah, and she couldn't
accept it.
Yeah,
like they said you're beautiful, and she was shaking, she was vibrating
because she didn't want to say thank you. She didn't want to. Yeah,
she didn't want to believe that she was beautiful.
Yeah, she didn't. That's what happens. The mental is like, it happens mentally. I saw that video. I was like, wow. And that video just showed that God actually works on people. That's just the first step. She has to do a lot of confessions and a lot of things behind the scenes because it's actually not easy. So when I was in JS1, I remember one particular guy. This guy was just okay. Like, it was nothing spectacular. But I just decided, I see this one. I'm in love with him. So I just said, okay, this guy, I'm in love with this guy. And that was it for me. I did not think about anything in school. That was all I thought about. This guy. And now, guess what? The guy did not like me back. So you will not think, oh my God, because I'm molested now. They molested me now. They don't think I am worth their love and stuff. See, that thing, people don't talk about this because maybe people are ashamed. But me, I think I was telling someone last day that, you know what, I'm going to talk about this any way I can because God actually healed me. I don't feel any hurt anymore. And nothing worse, nothing can happen to me for the past 29 years of my life. Like, the past 29 years, like, everything is gone. So that happened. So in secondary school, I didn't feel when people were toasting people, all these Valentine's, I just felt, you know what, this is not my calling. I don't think I can ever be loved. I don't think anything. Because why? Because I was molested. And my family, and that was telling, I would never say I had low self-esteem. I actually never had a low self-esteem. My self-esteem has been very intact. But when it comes to guys, I think the low self-esteem was like not feeling worthy. Like for a guy to come and like you. So that happens when any guy comes, you kind of feel like
you have to overperform.
Yeah, you have to fight for the love, right? So that happened throughout secondary school. It was a mixed school, but I left in my first term in JES one. That's like high school. For people that don't understand what secondary school is. But I went in JES one, and when I got to that school, I was molested again. By the security guard in the school. And what I realized, people that are molested, is that there's a tendency for it to happen again, and you don't fight back. There's actually a tendency for it to happen again, and you don't fight back. It's very ridiculous. So that's what happened. And I think it happened once when I was in secondary school, but now I knew better than to go back to the security guard. Because I went back to him to help me buy something. But I don't really know why these predators know people that have been molested before. I don't know how they do it, but I don't know that they have a radar in their brain, but they just kind of know. That's what happened. So it just happened, and then I left the school because the school was in Ekiti. I left the school and I came back to Lagos to a mixed school, and everything just went down the drain from there. It was just from, you just never think you are worthy. You just never think anything. You just think, you know what? This is not my calling for anybody to like me in this world.
I knew you talked about, if I could not have sex, at least I'm having it. Like, how did this spiritual stuff start?
Yeah. So, like I said, after the first day happened, I still having dreams, having sex in my dreams. So I knew that wasn't normal, but I couldn't sit with anybody. Right, but when the sex in the dream became very almost every day, so when you go to church, you hear, you know, spirit husband. I'm like, oh, he's not telling me I'm his wife or anything, and I already got the going back to him. So me and this guy, he was just touching me. He did every other thing.
Wait, the guy, like your neighbor.
Yes, man actually. It's not the same guy. That guy was old. That was not my father. But that guy was a man. But he didn't do anything. I think because I was 8. So, fun fact is that, not really, I don't know how to say fun fact. Like, this is so funny. He, before I turned 18, he was like, he told me he was waiting. He was waiting for me to be, no, before I turned 16. He was waiting for me to, like, I don't know, he said mature. So that he can now have sex with me. So this was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Like, this how many years? So I now said, never. That will never happen. I'll get this virgin myself. It's not be you, because then this virgin, everything was a big deal then, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to look for somebody. It can never be you. I will never. And I really looked for somebody. I looked for someone and I found. But that's the guy who had a mission. And I feel that, I just later realized that he was actually occulting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think now the deed was already done. There's been a lot of seeds that had been planted, so I wasn't normal anymore. And like I told you, I kept on dreaming. So every night I used to dream like people, like armed robbers were coming to the house and stealing stuff from the house, but only me. Everybody was sleeping. I was the only one awake. And I would keep on shouting like, can't you guys see this armed robber? Like, can't you guys see these people? Wake up. No, everybody's sleeping. I had that dream for like maybe 1-2 years straight, every night. They're stealing stuff. And it became normal. It became normal to me because, I mean, this, like, it's something you have first day, second day, third day, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, you're having the same dream every single day. And if you sleep in the afternoon, somebody just comes. Now, the dream, I think what even made me start talking to you about this was when we were talking about, like, spirit husband. Now, people don't believe you're having spirit husband.
I want to ask a question, and I'm sorry to listen, but I want to, how was the church life like when you are with your parents while you are small?
Yes, we're going to church. Every single day. Night vigil, deliverance. What do we not do? We need every single thing. We need everything. But now, that's the point. People might judge me for this, but I don't really care. When you have been molested, right, for a very long time, it becomes like your life. Like, it's a habit now. So that's why you see, that's why I always tell people that most people that are really sexually active in JS1 or JS2, or they lost, like, making out in corners, they have something going on. Go and check. Something happened to them. It is not normal for them to be like that. Somebody has actually opened the door that they're not supposed to open at that age. So they're used to it. And it's so it becomes normal. So now, talking about the dreams, when I started having those dreams, it was normal to me now. Because this happened for like 2 years straight. Right? So this happened for like 2 years. So it was now something that I wanted. So there was no point of reporting. It was only do you know what 2 years can do to your life? So 2 years, there's no point of reporting to anybody. So I actually liked it. Now, at this point, I was not the one going. So now...
To him?
Yes. You would actually go because it is your life. that is all you know. So when you now get older, you get used to it. So now you cannot, you are a small girl, you're small, you're young, you cannot meet anybody. Nobody will answer you because you're like 10. Nobody's going to answer you. Like, the people that you're supposed to meet in school, they're not going to answer you. So what do? You go back to the person.
Yeah.
So now you're going back. It's not now the one. So I was like, and I told one of my friends in school, I actually opened up to him and told him that, see what's going on. Huh? Because every time the guy comes to my house, well, just my normal friend, we're very close. That guy, he'll be looking at him, he'll be very angry with the guy. The guy will greet him, he'll not answer. So the guy probably thought that me and the guy were doing stuff, but the guy was my very good friend. And I had to explain to him, he told him that, why does your landlord not like me? I was like, that's stupid, man. That's what he used to do. And he was like, no wonder, because every time he's always like, looking at me in a very stern, scary way. And we're very young then, like 15. So he was like, ignore him. So that's when I now opened up to him. He was the only one that I told. I didn't tell anybody. And we're very close. So I think that made us to be close because I only told him. So having then those dreams, so one back to what you said about like those dreams. So I started having those dreams, sexual dreams, right? From when that happened. But when I now knew that, okay, this has become a habit now. Maybe when I travel somewhere and I can't really, the feeling comes and I can't really do anything, I'll not be like, okay, let me just wait till I get back to Lagos. At least I'm having sex in my dream and it's okay. I'll just wait. So the sex you're having in your dream is very realistic. I was having sex with this guy, but people in my dream were like random people. And I didn't know anything about porn. So I don't even know how that happened. So I didn't know anything about pornography. I didn't know anything about anything. It was literally random people. The friends, normally they're not human beings though. They don't come from human beings. Sometimes human beings, sometimes girls, sometimes a guy with like 4 private parts. It's really creepy. So growing up, you hear all these things, but nobody wants to tell a child, okay, start explaining all these things to a young girl. But you know what's happening to you, but you can't really explain that, okay. See what is happening to me.
I met someone. You know, I was really, at some point, I was really, really very, starting ministry, right? I was really very oblivious to all of this. I thought...
Really?
Yeah. Like, I thought spiritual husbands were like Nollywood characters. That
really?
I'm not joking. What happened was, I went to a crusade, right? At the end of the crusade, two ladies came up, and one of them was a Muslim, right? She came for the crusade. I think she gave her life to Christ in the crusade. So she came to the crusade with a friend, and they said, that we came to see the man of God. I think the guy that preached was resting because he was tired after shouting. So I was told to attend to them and ask them what's going on. And she said, I want the fruit of the womb. And we just held hands together. I said, okay, let's pray, you know, because I don't know. I'm new to, I would, that crusade was the first time I moved in power. Like, I've never moved, like, I've tell somebody, the person fell down, like, okay, I say, I think something's happening in this crusade. Let's hold hands. And we held hands. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you. And the Muslim lady fell down. The Christian lady, I just held her and just prayed, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe for a baby. And I came to this woman, the woman mm-hmm. that was on the ground, laid hands on her. The Muslim lady laid hands on her. And a masculine voice, I went back, you know, and I said, in the name of Jesus, out. But in the name of Jesus, out. She will come back.
The guy was still talking.
The masculine voice would come out like she was, like, as if she was flexing her muscles or something. And I immediately just calmed down and I asked the Holy Spirit, what's happening? And the Holy Spirit told me, mention it by its name and cast it out. And what I just got was, you spirit spouse, out. And she just calmed down. He left. The next day, the lady came to me and told me, because I was still wondering, mm-hmm. like, what did I just see? What just happened?
So you didn't know anything about spirit husband?
I didn't know anything about spirit husband until the lady came and she told me, that she had been having sex every night. And that was, the Holy Spirit told me that was what was stopping her from getting pregnant. So when that happened, I started seeing cases. I was just seeing cases of people having either spirit. I mean, I went to a university and a very little girl, this almost same story you're telling me, was the same story that the word of knowledge I got, and she came out and she was crying because she had never told anybody, only one of her friends. So a lot of people do not come out because somehow now nobody's talking about it and nobody wants to talk about it.
And sometimes you think you want to be delivered, but the truth is sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't want to. Like, that's why you're young, because you don't know. Like, because if you're delivered now, what happens to the habits that you formed?
Yeah.
Is there any structure, place for after the demon goes, when you feel like going to someone to touch your you feel like then what's going to happen? So there's no structure for that. I never think there's a structure for that now, because after you deliver people, you deliver their spirit. What about the physical body that feels whatever they want to feel? There's nothing.
That's very correct.
So that's why you see that people that are raped and everything, yes, God might deliver you, but you see them still going back. Because that is a habit. It's something they're used to. And that is what I always tell people, like, you have to, when pastor says, okay, you have to put a habit with a habit, it's actually true. But it takes a lot of energy and a lot of prayer. Like, you have to have somebody
that you're accountable to.
But that's the thing. Me, I was not accountable to anybody, because I didn't tell anybody, so nobody knew. I was very active in church. I was a Sunday school teacher to children. My family, we pray. Like, we're very strong Christians. Like, we do everything.
So how was deliverance for you?
So deliverance, basically, I always tell people that deliverance doesn't start. Deliverance, for me, did not happen like in one day, get out. It took many years. So it first took me saying that, okay, I realized the pattern. Especially with guys, like, I didn't want any serious relationship. I just wanted, okay, let's just be having sex and let's just be going. Because I just felt that, first off, like, you could really know who I am, but you'll know what happened to me and you won't really like me anymore. So that happened. So I now realized, okay, because of this state, I cannot really have a proper relationship because I don't rate sex anymore. And that's what mostly happens to people that have had, like, this kind of issue, because you just feel like, first of all, this one they say, when you hear people say virginity, I'm like, I beg. I did not decide to this virgin myself. Mm. So you don't rate many things. So why is it keep yourself? All those things. So all those things they say in church kind of blocks out. So if you listen to it, you're like, oh, amen, amen. But the truth of the matter is that it's not entering your head. It's just like, oh, my own reality is different from your own. I've gone through this. But when it took many years of saying, okay, so every time I would just say, okay, God, I actually don't want this anymore. So I would say, I'll actually go out. When they say, if you have anything in dreams, I will go out too. It will stop for a while, but it will come back. Like, the next 3 or 2 days, I will come back with, like, the worst dream I've ever had. And the dreams that you will see manifestations in the physical, like, you actually had actual sex. So I was like, and I became angry, like, I'm trying my best. To, I don't want again. Oh yeah, come on, be going. But when I knew that, okay, I didn't want this, was when I slept. I went to a house. In that dream, the guy carried me. And so now there's no face, right? Just somebody carried him to your house and said, this is our house. Very massive house, but the door was very small. So even if I was oblivious and thinking in my mind, I knew that day that this was not my mind, that this is actually very deep. Because that day, the house was a massive mansion. But the entrance to that house was very...
That like is a, spirits.
Yes. Personal. Yes, the entrance to that house was very small, like all these mines. And I don't know how we entered there. We entered inside that door. That's when I knew that it was not normal. So I was like, this is the house for, this is where when we get married, this is where you stay, this is for our children, this is, show me different things. And I woke up and I said, oh, no. This is when I back out. I actually don't want again. So it took many years and years and years of saying I don't want this. So I think the first step is to actually tell yourself that I don't want this. I'm done. Like, I'm done with this. I don't want to have anything to do with this again. I'm not enjoying it again. I actually want help, right? But what I know that helped it was, and I knew that, okay, I stopped having, the dreams now reduced because I started praying. I said, God, please just help me. The dreams reduced, but the urges in the physical. So I now realize that even if I pray and do all those things, once I have any dream in the physical, I want to go and have sex. I now saw a pattern. So I now saw that, okay, this is actually what happens. So I wake up in the morning, I feel discouraged. Oh, I've been praying and I had this dream again. I'm like, you know what? To help with this prayer, I will go and do what I'm supposed to do. But it just took years and years and years. So as of 2 years ago, this is 2023. So 2 years ago, I think I just told myself, you know what? That was 2021 after reboot camp. That was like my 2020 reboot camp. That was like my prayer. But I told God that I don't want all these things. Like, I just want to have a normal life. So I heard something before you're 30. I heard before you're 30, but I didn't hear anything again. And that's when they were just teaching in church on how to hear from God. And I heard it clearly before you're 30. And then I was 27. I was like, which one is before I'm 30? Do you want to tell someone something? Sure, you will not just say it completely. Which one is all these riddles and before you're 30? Because like, I wanted to hear something exact, but I just said before you're 30. And I just remembered it. So that happened. So I just told, and I told, and I knew that I had a call to ministry. I was like, me, I'm not going to any ministry because if someone just tells
someone... You feel like a hypocrite.
Yes, because I know what I'm struggling with. I'm not preaching that, God, you have to heal me before. So this was, and after that, it became worse. So I think when you now decide, and it's got to be because I realized that when a breakthrough is coming, things actually become bad. I was reading the book of Exodus, and these people, they were trying to deliver you, but Pharaoh made them suffer more. Right? So it actually became really bad. And I said, okay, that this is not what I want. So I just said, okay, no, I'm going to do something. I'm going to be active in church. Even if I'm doing anything outside, I'm going to make sure I don't miss church. Make sure I don't miss any midweek service. So because of the kind of work I do, I was very tired on one Sunday. I think that was now 2021. After I heard that word, I just said, I'm going to trick myself inside church and never miss church. So I didn't join the service unit then, but I was always coming to church. So I said, okay. Then that day, I didn't go to church that day. For some reason, even if I'm tired to my post Sunday, I'm not missing it. I'm not missing those structures that we put in place for something in your life. So that day, I woke up and that Sunday, that was a deliverance service in CCI. And I said, okay, these dreams, I stopped having it, but they come once in a while. I said, okay, since they come once in a while, like maybe it's just my mind, you know, playing tricks on me. Maybe it has actually gone. So that day, I woke up and I had that dream, and it was worse than anyone I've ever had, like in the past years. So I just woke up. Later, I just woke up. I just heard, you need to talk to Pastor Mayowa. No, that was on Tuesday. So that week, that month in church was a deliverance month. So Tuesday, that happened on Tuesday. So on Wednesday, I said, okay, I'm going to talk to Pastor Mayowa. Then that Wednesday, I talked to Pastor Mayowa. Pastor Mayowa didn't say anything. He just said, you know what? Don't worry. Remind me on Saturday. Then on Sunday, some would pray. Then that Sunday happened on Saturday. Now, on Saturday he told me. Then on Sunday he just randomly called me out and said, "You say come out." He was just saying, "I remember that period." I came out, and he said, "Open your eyes." I couldn't open my eyes. I tried, like I wanted to open my eyes, but my eyes were not just open. You're like, "You say open your eye." Telling me everything. I said, I can't. I'm trying. It's not opening. So when I eventually opened my eye, light was so bright. Light, I was in church. So I was in service. The light was really bright. Then, so that happened. So they were speaking in tongues. Out. So Pastor, I didn't tell Pastor Maya about what happened to me when I was small. And he said that there's something that has been there with you. There's some spirits that have been there with you since you were a little girl. And they came to fight him before that Sunday.
Mm.
So he knew that these people were not going to let it go easily.
Yeah.
So that happened on Sunday. So when he was saying out, I fell down. But he now said that she started speaking in tongues in church. And I remember Debbie in church. It was an outburst. So I fell towards the choir side. Everybody said speaking in tongues. But her tongues, they were entering my ear. So I was shaking because that was what I was. I think I felt like on her foot. So she was just there speaking in tongues and I was shaking. And after that, I now said, okay. So when I stood up to look at PM, I was angry. I was not, like me myself, I was not angry. But something in me was angry that this thing just happened. But when I went back home, I now said, okay. Ah, thank God. I called my soul. As I did, I told my sister, I see what happened to me in church. I'm very happy about this. Then I called, and that night, something that I cannot forget. It happened. So what happened that night was that after that prayer on Sunday, I slept that night. And normally when they want to have sex with you in the dream, right? You don't have any control. You're just like a sheep, like a lamb laid for slaughter. How did they say it? But that one, it was not a case of rape. I was not fighting. I've never fought back all my life. So I was fighting that night. And I started speaking in tongues and I became fire. When I started speaking in tongues, I became fire. Then that was like the first. And then after that, I now saw that there was like a shield, right? Like a glass. You see people wanting to get you, but they can't really get you. Holy Spirit said, this shield is put in place and it's you that has to make sure this stays up, right? So I knew that, okay, I actually have a part to play. God has done his own part. Now I have a part to play. That's when I decided, okay, after that, I'm going to be actively judged. I joined the service unit. And joining the service unit actually helps you because you have a community. Even if you're not telling them your problems, but you know that, okay, now, they would ask you why you're not in church. They will ask you all those things. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to choke myself in church, anything church. So I started looking for fellowships to join. Anyway, I said, okay, Bible believing, speaking in tongues, I will put my head there. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I was always like having a church, like having church stuff. So that's what happened. But when it fully happened, I always tell people that it's a journey because when that fully happens, so back to what I said before 30, I told God, okay, that's the dreams have stopped, spiritual man has stopped, but I still feel a lot of heaviness in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because during lockdown, I cried. Like during lockdown, when we were talking about like answers, not just answers, that this lady that they raped, gang rape or something, a lot of things were going on that period. I just said, you know what, God, I'm actually tired. So I told my mom I needed therapy. Oh, to be Jesus is your therapist. I was like, see, I feel that people you talk to when you know, are like your.
I think that's what I was thinking.
I was like, just a therapist, go and pray. I cried. But as at then, on Instagram, they were like online therapy.
Oh.
My sister actually sent me some, like, you see, okay, because you can just be staying. So it's a suppressed memory, right?
Mm.
So now spiritual aspect was already done. But I told God that I feel a lot of heaviness. And it's affecting me. I cannot, like, I just feel not good. So I now kept on saying, okay, this heaviness in my heart, I need to go. So when I started talking to a guy, I would just self-sabotage because I just feel like, please, I cannot start telling you the real me. Just shift to one side. But after that spiritual one, and I realized that, okay, this pattern is actually real. This pattern of the sex and dream has gone, but you yourself, now your mentality, because this happened when I was 8. And then I was 29. You get, so this is many, many, many years of how your mind has been shaped. I just told God, you know what? I don't want to think like this anymore. You have to help me. So I just knew that, okay, I'm going to continue praying, continue doing everything. And at the end of the day, everything is going to be fine. Sometimes you cry yourself to sleep. Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes you just want to be alone and cry. But because of the kind of personality I have, you would never imagine I'm going through all those things because I can't imagine myself. I can't imagine myself just staying now. I can't imagine myself just sitting down somewhere and be crying. Like, it's very unlike me. So my friends would not know until I finished crying and I knock and say, I just finished crying though. I felt bad, but I'm okay now. They'll say, okay, I'm okay now, thank God. And we'll move because of the kind of person I am.
Mm.
So fast forward to, I turned 30 last year. And I now realized that before, so I normally do, I think most people pray before your birthday. I don't know. I pray before my birthday. Mm. So when I was about to pray for like my normal prayer, Holy Spirit just told me, can you see that everything has gone?
I stopped feeling.
Oh no, I don't know. There's this heaviness in your heart
mm.
where you have like trauma that you've not dealt with. It's heavy. It's like a dumbbell. Even if you're happy, sometimes you can be happy and it just come and drops it on you and you just be sad. So this people just told me, can you see that you're normal now? Like, can you see it has been dropped? I did not know. So I now, you know, reminded me of before you're 30. That was the night before I was 30 that he reminded me. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, are you serious? So I got a word before in April, because April I had a very bad breakdown. I was like, I was talking to a guy and the guy was just misbehaving. And no more people misbehave now. But I thought that, God, this is this way for me. But I don't made it about me, but it was not about me, it's about the person. The person is the one that is misbehaving, not me. So I made it about myself, and that's what happens when you have like mental models from when you're young. So Holy Spirit told me then, for me, no matter what I know that people I did and helped me was that no matter how I break down, no matter how I commit sin, no matter anything, I will still make sure I pray.
Glory to God.
I will still make sure I read my Bible. And Holy Spirit should talk to you.
Yes, yes, it does.
He talks to you. Even when I say, Holy Spirit, I don't know, I did this thing. No, I'm sorry. You cry. He will actually talk to me. He'll tell you, I will heal you and others will heal through you. That's what he has been telling me. I said, you know what?
He said that thing to me also. During the time I was also going through my own addiction.
Yeah.
Like the same word that he
did. I will heal you and others will heal through you.
Yeah, yeah. The same word, but maybe not in that same way, but in the same word.
Do you know what I said when I had it? I said, heal me first. Just heal me. Just leave others first. Just heal me. Let me be okay. Let me be fine. Just leave others. You get it? I don't want to heal anybody. I don't do it. Just let me be okay. And when it happened like, I don't know when it happened. I just realized that I was lighter. Like, I wake up in the morning, people say things to me that normally would get to me. So I didn't even think, I was like, my friend told me, I used to, you're acting different. What's going on? I said, I don't know, but. So it's always been that reminded me a day that night before I thought that that's 12th of August 8th. That night, that reminded me that I will heal you people through your hand before you are 30. So when all this happened, just that's when I realized that. So that night I spoke to one of my friends and I realized that people have, there's this grace on my life where people share their deepest traumas with me ever since that day. Like, randomly, we can just be talking. I'm like, because me, I'm not open about my own story. So it now gives them courage to say, okay, this is what happened to me too.
Yeah, human beings, the way you shared it.
So they just said, this is what happened to me too. And you realize that people are suffering.
You.
Like, people are going through it. You can see somebody.
A friend of mine says, if you don't do ministry, people will suffer.
People are suffering. Like, you can see somebody. I saw one of my friends. I just said, you're going through, she got her heart broken. I said, you're going through something. And it's not you. All this is they're doing now, it's not you that wants to do it. Because I know, I've been there, like, you don't want to do some things. All the sleeping around people do, sometimes they don't really want, they can't help it.
How is your, I think this will be like last question, right?
Okay.
This will be like last question. Like, how is your self-identity now, yourself, the way you look at yourself now versus then?
Then, I was very different. So, before, like I said, I'm not a timid person, but when it comes to guys, now I don't even care. Like, I think God just helped me in a way that I actually do not. I just know that, see,
I'm not too sending me.
No, I don't. Because I realized that I've carried this weight for a long time and nobody will make me come back to where I was before. Like, nobody can. Like, God has already healed me, it's gone. So, but what God made me to do, what God taught me, right, even before my birthday, was that I should know my identity in Christ. That was what Holy Spirit. So, what did I not do? I started reading. And the way Holy Spirit does with me is that I don't know how to read it. And like I said, I don't like book. But he would just put a something at me. I would not be bothered to start cramming. I'll Google it. Let me just Google the word I just heard. I'll go to the passage and read it. Then I now went to make shirts. Like, I'm wearing one now. I wrote, made shirts of all the words I got about myself. It made me the light of the world, your loves, are chosen before I called you. all those things, knowing your identity in Christ is a game changer.
This is going to be like Gascon, but you remind me of something. It was the time I was actually strong in identity and everything. I remember whenever I started praying, I would always hear, like before I hear anything else, the Holy Spirit would say anything else. I would always hear, you know, I love you, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm going to use you to do great things, right?
Yeah.
Before I heard anything else,
yeah.
It happened until the point where I'm like, oh, actually free right now. Okay. That was when you know, if people say, okay, what's your love language and stuff like that? I never read all of those love languages, but something I know that is important, that was important and still important to me was words of affirmation. And the Holy Spirit did a good job.
Yeah.
Did a good job. And I think that is also the same thing. He always assures me, I love you. I'm never going to leave you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's true, because I remember I had a vision one time, and in that vision, Holy Spirit was holding my hand. Like, I saw someone very huge just holding my hand. We're walking to somewhere, like a bush. Was like because of whoever was holding me, I was not afraid, right? And Holy Spirit actually, when I came back to my senses, I was like, I'm with you. So there's something that happened to me. When PM said you want time in church, I was like, wow, so it's actually not only me. So when you finish praying, just take your Bible and start writing. And God just told me, I love you. Nothing you do can ever separate me from you. You know, no matter what your past. It was a whole, like, 2 pages. I was just writing. And when I just read it now, it's really about love. And I realized when you understand that God actually loves you past everything you've been doing, number one, you realize that, okay, I can actually forgive people. And I can forgive that person. Because the guy is dead now. And the guy died when I was still dealing with a lot of stuff in 100 Devil. I never apologized. So when I called my friend, I told my friend that this guy is dead. That friend I only told. I said, this guy is dead. And he died. Nobody, they are celebrating his burial. I've seen pictures. Nobody knows that this guy is like this. And even I was like, so this guy is going to die. Nobody knew what he did. So that thing really hurt me, because I was like, so this guy is actually just gone and I'm here suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I realized the love of God, it helped me to forgive and just forget about literally everything. Forgive all the guys in the past too that will still use you because they will see your insecurities. You know, when you're talking now, you open up to them and they use it against you. I literally just forgive everybody. Yes. And it is like a heavy weight. When I say heavy weight, it's like very heavy. I was carrying a lot of load. I was carrying it. It was a lot. It was, I can't, right now, I just thank God, and I'm happy for the kind of like church in, because the church really helped me. At one point, I had to get married. I told Pierre that, you know, to my prayer, I said, you see, act in your life that you could never get married in this life. What will you be doing if you know that in this life, you know what, I will never get married? I think that's when I now started becoming close to God, and my healing came faster, because I was not all those ones that the devil was trying to just distract me. Because I was like, you're going to go and heal, but you, when I enter the marriage now, you'll come and spoil it with your emotional trauma. So it was just a lot. What I just want to say is that people that are going through things now, it's like, it's not only you.
Yeah.
You're not alone. But another thing is that you have to get to church. Even if it's not happening now, my own 2 years. Like, this also is just summary.
But it doesn't have to take years.
It doesn't have to take years for you, but it takes a lot of intentionality and tears. You will cry. Sometimes you'll fall. You will feel like, oh, see, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to do it again. Can I just not live my life? But at the end of the day, God will actually help you. And God, like, I'm so happy because God told me that people would actually heal through me. And initially, I now came to realize that, okay, people have different ministries in this life. You get. And this might be my own ministry amongst other things. But I know that God actually heals, like, trauma, heals wounds that nobody's even seeing. And that's just it. Honestly, I feel that people just need to not just go to church, or be active. Be active and open up to somebody in that church and tell, see what I'm going through. This is what I'm going through and I need help. But I feel that mine took that long because I never told anybody.
Yeah.
And even after telling the person now, and another thing is when you tell people, don't care about really what they say, because sometimes their reactions might not be what you want to hear. Like my mom telling me that, oh, Jesus, your therapy. That thing, I cried for like 1 week when she told me that thing. Because I'm like, how can my own mother tell me this? And this was after like 2 years after I told her I was molested. So 2 years after, I'm coming to tell you that this is affecting me. You're telling me Jesus is my therapy. It's not that I don't know this Jesus. I was very upset. So at the end of the day, just know that, okay, yes, I always tell people that therapy is good, but it's got, I can't tell you, like, therapy is good, but therapy will help you know that, okay, this is the problem, this is the big genesis. But the revelation of that problem is only, is actually only in Christ. That's the truth, honestly.
Okay, thank you so much, Yusi. Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome.
I think that's it.